This is Bird Note. With its rubbery-sounding rattles and clownish red eyebrows, the ptarmigan is quite the standout northern bird. And it's particularly well-adapted to wintertime in the snowy realms it calls home. Like Cinderella at midnight, this bird is utterly transformed by winter. During its autumn molt, the ptarmigan sheds its mottled brown plumage for a cloak of snowy white. And skip the glass slippers. As the winter approaches, the ptarmigan's feet grow feathers. Even the bird's claws grow longer. And that added surface area means the ptarmigan is ready to travel over the snow. It practically has its own set of snowshoes. If you or I tried to travel across ptarmigan turf in winter, we'd likely sink into the snow up to our shins, our thighs, or even our hips. But not this bird. The ptarmigan's genus name, Lagopus, is a combination of the Greek words meaning foot and hair. Like a rabbit, Lagopus, hare-foot. The name's a nod to another big-footed northerner, the snowshoe hare. For more on the ptarmigan and other birds we feature, check out our website, birdnote.org. For BirdNote, I'm Mary McCann.
Oh, Back Into the Fire by Melancholia. Before that, you heard Baby Beard with Twisted Kaiju Tale here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. You're tuned into the first ankle deep walk into the lake of overseas idols. Yeah, I'm gonna say it like that because I have dipped my toe technically into this lake already. You know, I've been listening to Non-Sweet for a while, been listening to Paida for a while. I'm trying to expand my horizons to understand a little bit more about this niche music and entertainment world. It's like a combination of so many things. There's like cosplay involved. You got singing and dancing, obviously, as idols do. Then you have like a lot of the other like typical idol things, like meet and greets and like establishing like that parasocial connection, which in my opinion is like a huge skill that not a lot of people have. Something that I've learned in my research around Kaiju idols, I'm going to share two things. I find them very fascinating. Number one is that this is not a phenomena that's like confined to the West. Now, today on the playlist, I have basically only shared music from Kaiju idols from the West. So my case is not really helping here. But that is largely because I've been having a little bit of trouble trying to figure out how Kaiju idols from other parts of the world are produced and structured. I found this one group in particular. They're no longer active. They're called Lunch Girls. And the name in English sounds inelegant. It's Chushoku Kanojo, and they are a Taiwan-based idol group who sing in Japanese. No, they sing in Mandarin, sorry. They sing in Mandarin, but they have Japanese names and like stage names, I guess. And I was trying to find out more information about them. I just could not figure out if they were an independent group, which is one of the reasons why I didn't put them on today's playlist. But there are a lot of groups like that. They're not in North America. They are not based in Australia. There's a lot of Australia representation on today's program. They're not based in Europe or anything like that. They are people who are like out there in East Asia, Southeast Asia, not in Japan, who are also overseas idols. And I just couldn't figure out whether or not they were independent. So what I've learned essentially is like anywhere you find people who love idols, who also love intensely performing, and like who are super, super into this like kind of niche, genre of music, they might take up the task of becoming a Kaiju idol and sharing the joys of being an idol and the joy of idol fandom community to their locales. That's one thing that I learned. The other thing that I learned, which was probably the coolest thing in my cursory research, is that the Kaiju idol community is, aside from being like, you know, having no borders, it is very, very diverse. They are a very accepting and open bunch. There are a lot of idols who are openly like identify as like neurodiverse or disabled. There are a lot of people who are openly queer or openly trans. And of course, like people of all different backgrounds and of all different racialized communities will become overseas idols. And that's something that I think is so cool, because the idol industries, like the, you know, basically all mainstream idol industries, but for, you know, like the people who started it, right, with the Japanese star system, it is a really, really like restrictive, apolitical industry. And, you know, the moment you kind of like step out of line, people are like, what's going on? But there's, outside of that, on the fringes, there are groups that are, there are groups and there are performers who have expressed that they are like different in one way or another. It's just that that doesn't always get the spotlight. That is not always the thing that is kind of like highlighted and exalted into stardom. I'm thinking a lot about Wada Ayaka, actually. If you're an idol fan, you know who she is. But like folks like her who have been really outspoken about their progressive political views and who like openly identify as like feminist or queer. And to see that kind of like being turned on its head in this fandom community is so fascinating. It's something that I'm interested in understanding more, especially as I learn more about these groups and this community. Again, if you are a Kaigai idol, potentially, or if you know a lot about Kaigai idols, reach out. Write to me. I am at Typically Tuesdays on Instagram. I'm typicallytuesdays at gmail.com. I want to learn more. I want to share more to other listeners. We're going to listen to some more music. Speaking of listening, that was a terrible segue. That was bad. That was a bad segue. That was terrible. We're going to hop into it now with, of course, we gotta showcase them. We gotta showcase this group who are some local icons and in their own right. This is Non-Sweet with World's Friend, really showcasing the international aspect and the diverse cultural aspect, the multicultural aspect of the Kaigai Idol community with their song World's Friend, sung in 5 different languages. Holy moly, I didn't even know that there were that many languages in the world. Whoa. But first, here's a bird note.
This is Bird Note. When humans first arrived on what is now Cuba, they would have encountered an ecosystem somewhat different than we know it today. The ancestors of the Guanahatabey people likely shared the island with sloths as big as black bears ambling through the open woodlands, monk seals lounging on the beaches, long-legged owls the size of children stalking the forest floor at night, and all of them living in the shadow of a giant. Gigantohyrax is an extinct genus of eagles whose fossils have been found in local cave deposits and tar seeps. They've left only scant remains, mostly leg bones, but the fossils show that these birds were heavily built and massive. With an estimated weight of nearly 30 pounds, Gigantohyrax suarezi, the larger of the two named species, would have been the biggest raptor known from the Americas, barely edged out by the similarly sized Haas eagle of New Zealand. This would make them 10 times heavier than the red-tailed hawk. Little else is known about Gigantohyrax, but forthcoming research may help us better understand the lifestyle and appearance of these awesome Antillean eagles and the lost ecosystem of the island they ruled. For Bird Note, I'm Ade Ben Salahuddin.
At dawn, 5 girls prepare for the ultimate takeoff. Their mission is to discover the long lost, world's friend. With the universe as their limit, they're destined to shatter all borders. But they'll need power from all of you to unite this world. Once and for all, for the good of mankind, something must be done. Are you ready?
Was Non-Sweet with World's Friend here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. Wow. Again, so blown away by how many languages are in that song. Non-Sweet is made up of, like, legitimately, like, various many types of people. So it's really cool to hear them all being able to, like, sing in, like, a language that's not English. And I mean, I think they have, like, some songs in Japanese as well, but it's really cool to be able to hear, like, other languages involved, because, like, really, I think that's kind of what a little bit of the phenomena of being, like, an overseas idol is. It has to do with, like, the concept of taking idols out from the confines of a border and, you know, doing with it in a way that is, I don't know, that you can, like, make the concept accessible to the people of your locale. And if you've been a longtime listener of Typically Tuesdays, you know that I'm, like, endlessly, endlessly fascinated by the globalization of idols, and how the concept of idols has changed and shifted, and how in many ways it has always been actually, like, one that has been influenced by many cultures right from the get-go. So that song, I think, is, like, such, like, a really... such an interesting, how do you say, example of that. And as we wrap up the show today, I want to thank you for tuning in to yet another episode of Typically Tuesdays, in which I talk incessantly about idols. This is probably going to become a regular thing. I've been thinking probably accidentally what will happen, like, unintentionally. It's like there will be at least one idol-focused show each month on Typically Tuesdays this year. I'm sorry. And at the same time, I'm not, because perhaps you too also love idols. If you are, again, get in touch. Let's talk about it. I'm at Typically Tuesdays on Instagram. You can email me also, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. And if you are just being exposed to idols, well, thank you for sticking around. I hope you learned something and something fascinated you. Tune into more great CJSF programming. I really advocate for people to listen to Democracy Now, even though it's technically not CJSF programming. But I think listening to Democracy Now, listening to the news, even though it might give you a mental health crisis, I know it does for me, I think it's really important right now. It's a broad way to understand what's happening in the world and what we need to do to keep ourselves and, our importantly, our communities safe. So check out Democracy Now! Every weekday from 11 to 12. On that note, I am going to end off the show today with one final song. This is another one by Paida. I don't remember if I've ever played the song on Typically Tuesdays before, because I love it so much. And actually, the song was showcased on Japanese television when Paida was featured on a reality television show called What Are You Doing in Japan? Or something like that. It's about non-Japanese people going to Japan. Anyways, it's a really good one. I hope you enjoy. Here's Galaxy Racer on Typically Tuesdays on 90.1 FM CJSF. I'm Leslie. I'll talk to you very soon.